Grace and peace. We are excited to bring you another episode of Dare to Dream with yours truly, Dr. Nicole. I am so glad that we always get this time to spend together. And I want to welcome you for coming back during the month of October, which is our financial literacy month. It's the financial planning literacy month. And so instead of doing what we typically would do, which is ask individuals, what would you do if you had an opportunity to dream big dreams and money was not an issue. Today, I decided to go in a different direction because expertise is essential in today's day and age when we're thinking about dreaming big dreams. I went and got some arsenal to help me out today, to help you to dream big dreams. Today, we present to you none other than one of my sister friends in the area of comprehensive financial planning, Miss Romney Pinkron. She is the visionary of Asset Achievers, and she is a sister, a CFP practitioner, and somebody doing it for herself. Romney, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Nicole, for having me today. I'm very well and excited to be here with you all today.
So we usually start off about addressing, if money weren't an issue, what would you be doing with your life? And so I know a little bit about you, so I want you to be able to tell our audience, because you're doing what I do with my life, and I just love it. And I want people to see that there are individuals that can talk about money and dreams and do things well. So please share with the audience a little bit about you and how you're living out your dreams today.
Absolutely. And thank you again for the opportunity to come on the show today. So I am a first generation wealth builder. So the reason that I was attracted to, or am attracted to, this industry is based on the fact that it's my calling, it's my purpose. Since a young girl, I've always had dreams of building financial wealth, not only for myself, but mostly for my family, because I noticed early on how we were able to make money and everybody always had a job. We always had nice cars and nice clothes and things. But I also noticed that we weren't so great at building our wealth and making it last even longer and building assets. So that's one of the things that drove me to a career in financial planning. And so now I'm speaking to you from my place in Mexico. So I'm considered an expat. I left Washington, D.C. last year. I left my job and started my own company this year and moved to Mexico. But if money was not an issue at all for me, I would be traveling the world, probably having a private yacht somewhere in France. That's a long-term goal for me. As I mentioned, I'm passionate about building generation wealth. And I do believe you work hard and you enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Now, you said something that I think is very important. And so there's a passion that is associated with building and acquiring wealth. And we do this for a living. And sometimes I think people go, well, what is financial planning? You know, we talk about financial planning awareness month. What does it look like to acquire or accumulate wealth? We got that J-O-B thing down pat, but what do I really do in order to acquire wealth? So why don't you help them out and let them know, well, this is what I would do if I were just getting started. What would Romney do if someone was sitting before them saying, well, I want to, you know, leave generational wealth too?
Well, thank you for that. And I can speak to it very well because I'm not too far from it, Dr. Nicole. I'm in my mid-30s. And in 2020, so 2 years ago, I paid off all my college debt. So my spouse and I paid off $130,000 within 2.5 years. So I'm not far from that step that you mentioned. And back to your question. So financial planning is just really the consistent and concerted effort of building your finances. That's all it really is. It's not as complex as some people like to make it or think of it as. It's really just being consistent and making a plan to build your assets. And a lot of it looks like budgeting, savings, and making sure that you're investing your money, because we know that inflation is a real thing. We've all seen it this year, inflation reaching an all-time high. It really does start to impact your money. So being intentional and being consistent about planning, savings, investing, that'll take you a long way.
You said two things that I really have to touch on. The first one is I'm so blown away that you eradicated $130,000 worth of debt, you know, and that
yes, ma'am.
Okay. So if you want to talk about financial wealth and financial planning, one of the biggest challenges, as you have indicated, and the second one is inflation. So I'll get to that in a moment. But one of the things that dropped or turned on individuals at the drop of a linchpin is the impact of inflation caused individuals to not be able to purchase houses. But I'm going someplace else with that first. So we already know that that was a thing that was happening. But as student loan debt was applied to an individual who thought that they were capable of purchasing a house, it really throws off a person's debt to income ratio, so much so that their willingness or desire to acquire wealth or do prudent financial planning to build and accumulate wealth, it can discourage you. And yes, I don't think people understand that student loan debt is like, okay, well, I'm paying it. But it's, if it's a huge number, because I got a doctor in front of my name, if it's that huge number, you know, it can become so overwhelming. So in it, with that in mind, how do you guide individuals, because you're in your 30s, how do you guide individuals to acquire wealth even though you have this big liability or this big debt staring you in the face? Because you did something and you did it right. $130,000 is nothing to sneeze at, and to be able to pay it off in 2 years, yet some people want to know, how can I do that?
It's more than possible. It is more than possible. And it goes back to that consistent, concerted effort, because for me, when I thought about initially, when I thought about building generational wealth and knowing that I had this student loan debt burden on my back, I was like, you know what? I have to be determined, one. And then I have to sacrifice. At the time, I was living in Washington, D.C., as I mentioned. And if you know anything about Washington, D.C., you know that that culture is big on brunch and going out and having a good time. And so for me, I knew that I had to really just scale it back when it came to like going out and doing things that didn't align with my financial plan. And I didn't have to scale everything back, but I certainly wasn't about to be going to brunch every single weekend, spending, you know, 50 to 100 bucks every single weekend. So again, it goes back to that consistent and concerted effort. For me, I knew that I had a specific time frame in which where I wanted to pay my debt back and leave the United States. So within that time frame, I said, hey, okay, my time frame was actually 3 years, but we made it in 2.5. So I said, within these 3 years, I have a budget for going out, for eating out for the week. I have a budget for entertainment. I have a budget for the summer. I have a budget. And I have to stick with that budget.
Can we pause right there for a moment? Because that's the one area in which people that are very serious about dreaming big dreams and really pursuing life beyond living from paycheck to paycheck. You know, it is a word that we must adopt, embrace, and, you know, recognize that we have to not only adopt it and embrace it, but we have to apply it to our daily lives. Because if you're serious about wealth accumulation in any capacity, if you're serious about not wanting to live from paycheck to paycheck, then there has to become a moment in your life where disciplined and consistent savings are a part of your vocabulary. And that's the one area that people, do not really want to address in their own personal lives. So I always speak, publicly, and I'm sure you do as well. And so this is a section that I think you'll enjoy participating in, because I know I love it tremendously. And so I'm going to give a narrative, and I just want you to just flow with me, because this is Financial Planning Awareness Month. And for those individuals that tell me that they cannot create a plan or they don't have the ability to save, these are some of the things that I do when I first assess or walk into a room. For those of you that say you can't save, Mommy already talked about all of those brunches, right? I'm going to go someplace else. For those of you that say that you can't save, I've already looked at your nails in the room. I just want you to notice, I'm not telling you not to get your nails done, but you don't have to get them done every 2 weeks. Just stretching it out to 3.5 to 4 weeks allows you an extra payment every 3 to 4 weeks, and you can allocate that money towards savings. For those of you that say you can't save, you can also make sure that in addition to that lunch, if you were to just absolutely consider getting Starbucks from the store instead of from the actual Starbucks place or eatery or brewery, you could probably save a good $50 to $100 a week. For those of you that can't save, is there anything else that you might want to add to that? Because I got some for days.
Yes, I definitely have something else to add to that. A big one for me was my cell phone plan. At the time, I had Sprint, and I went to compare packages because I was like just determined and trying to figure out ways that I could save money and place that money towards my student debt to remove that out of my life. And so I found that my cell phone was an additional area, in addition to the brunch and those other areas that you mentioned, but the cell phone was a big one. After switching my cell phone plan, I ended up saving $800 for the year. And so monthly, it doesn't seem like that much, but when you add it up, and for the year, $800, that's almost $1,000. So yes.
Check the cell phone plan. And along those lines, listen, I have a passion for Pepsi and Snickers. I love it. I do not want to deprive myself. And if it's not Pepsi, it's Lay's potato chips. But when I go to the store and I decide this is what I'm going to get from a regular store that may be downstairs or something, I'm spending far more than if I would have gone and purchased in bulk and carried it. So for those individuals that say that they can't save, I've learned that the benefit of purchasing in bulk really allows you to still have what you want. And this is the part that I really want them to understand. I mean, we're not telling you not to do a thing. What we're telling you to do is exercise prudence in that particular area and being able to do that. The other aspect is for those individuals that say that they can't save, and this is all about financial planning, the need to have your own home-based business offers tax incentives to reduce tax liability in the current year for individuals who may not be able to save from month to month, but they can get those tax savings at the end of each year when they file their taxes. Rami, let's talk a little bit about that. The benefit of stepping out and being your entrepreneur, giving yourself the opportunity to do what? Add some additional revenue, but also take some tax deductions that may ultimately benefit you from an overall financial objective of accumulating wealth. Why don't you give them some ideas of what it is that they can do to cultivate that? Because again, this is about dreaming big dreams. And so many people need to take a chance on them and allow them to acquire wealth. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. Well, experts recommend, having 7 streams of income, and not all of those streams of income come directly from you actually physically working. Some of them come from your dividends, from your investments, interest from like your savings accounts. But back to your initial question, Dr. Nicole, many of us, we're so talented. Like I have friends who are working in corporate offices, but they also do hair on the side. They also paint on the side. Like we are gifted. We are talented people. So yes, there are plenty of opportunities for you to make this additional income on the side and take advantage of it from a tax perspective, because also when you have an additional stream of income, you can use that money to your advantage for tax purposes by putting it in an account that is tax friendly, like an IRA account. And when you are a solopreneur or you own your own business, you usually have more opportunity to increase that amount in that you're investing into that retirement account and get even more tax benefits. So there's plenty of different ways that you can, you know, you can do it. The best thing that I recommend is just, yeah, taking advantage of it and speaking to an expert so we can help you strategize.
And I think strategy is so important. And one of the things that I like to tell people all the time is that when you're willing to take a risk or a chance on you, and that's what I think is so critical. You're taking a chance on you and dreaming big dreams and stepping out to do what it is that you love to do. And you talked about our level of creativity, that if something that is in alignment with your creativity has the ability to be monetized, meaning you can earn something doing what it is that you love to do, then you do want to consider what does the United States of America say relative to that. Now, I know you're in Mexico, but you know, the truth of the matter is our tax system is designed for small business owners. It is designed to be very attractive for an individual that will step out and become their own boss. Small employers really is what make up the backbone of our tax system. And this is the thing. The IRS says something that I absolutely love. If it's reasonable and customary in your ordinary course of business, it then becomes an expense. And those expenses oftentimes can be things that you do from day to day. And so instead of it being something that is, you know, a non-discretionary thing that you would do that really just takes money out of your pocket, if it's in alignment with what it is that you do day in and day out, it becomes an expense, which then changes your tax parameters overall. The other thing that you alluded to is the retirement savings. When you do step out, it's attractive. You have the ability to, again, if we're doing wealth accumulation, sock money aside, instead of paying heavier taxes, you're now saving for your future and you're beginning to acquire and accumulate that level of wealth. And so these are just some things that we wanted to point out because I think it's important for people to see, because if we were, you know, sitting down and addressing the plan, Romney, I think sometimes people don't think about the risk aspect along with the accumulation aspect. So let's just touch on that just for a little bit, because you know, when you are acquiring wealth, we have to take into consideration the risk. One of the things that you started off with was really addressing, you know, student loan debt and how consistency will allow you to pay it down and it makes you more attractive financially. But we don't talk about as much insurance and protection mechanism. So let's just address that now so that people know that this is what financial planning is all about.
Ooh, this is a big one. For me, I start specifically with protection, because if you just take a look at our legends who passed away, unfortunately, without an estate plan. Let's talk about Prince for a second.
Oh, right.
Yes, I love Prince. And unfortunately, he is one of our legends that passed away without a proper estate plan. So all that means is that he did not have his documents in order with the proper legal documents to say, okay, now that I've accumulated this money, this is where I want it to go. He did not have that established properly. And because of that, that led to his estate, his money, being tied up in the courts for many years, up until recently. I believe it was either this year or last year. I believe it was this year, and to where it's just now being relinquished to his heirs. But now he's had to pay, his estate has had to pay millions of dollars to the court, millions of dollars to the lawyers. And all of that money, guess what? It was entitled to his heirs because he worked for it. But because he didn't have the proper estate plan, it went away. It went to the courts and it went to the lawyers. So protection, that's something that's so important. And a lot of people miss out on that, thinking about building generational wealth, because a lot of us are new to building wealth and we think, okay, I just have to make this income. I just have to make enough and secure the bag, as we say, but you also have to protect the bag. You have to protect the bag. And that's why I start there, because as you know, Dr. Nicole, a lot of the people that we're working with, they're earning this money, they're making this money, they're buying nice things. And now they're ready to meet with us, a financial planner. They're ready to get invested. They're ready to grow their wealth. And it's like, well, wait, take a second, because we need to get this money protected. Because if you pass away today and you do not have your affairs in order, you do not have your beneficiaries aligned, you do not have your insurance set up, the same thing could happen to you that happened to Prince. This money could go to the court. This money could go to the lawyers instead of going to your heirs. So it's extremely important that you get your beneficiaries set up on all of your accounts, not just your retirement account, not just your insurance. You can also set up a beneficiary on your checking and savings account, just like you would your retirement account. Because again, if you don't, your heirs are going to have to fight for that money and potentially pay fees to get the money that they're entitled to.
Some of the things that you're identifying as will substitute. So some of the things that you named very specifically, the IRA account, the insurance policies, you know, and just adding what we call payable on death attachments to, you know, regular checking and savings accounts. So those things are very important. And I want to really talk to families for a moment, because the other areas that we oftentimes miss in dealing with estate planning is the significance of having something as simple as a will that really covers and gives to, becomes the umbrella that one would need to ensure that you're making that identification. One thing that I say to people all the time, especially if you have young children, is, you know, well, who would take care of your children, God forbid, if something happened to you? Yes. And are you providing for them financially if you're leaving them baby's kids? Like, this is important. You gotta leave me baby's kids with no money, no resources, or
nothing.
You work real hard as their parent to give them a certain level of comfortability. Will that shift because you passed away prematurely? I always use my own life narrative that at the tender age of 30, I was on the 73rd floor of Tower 2 on September 11th. I was one of a fortunate few being on the 73rd floor, down on the 44th floor when my building was actually hit, with people alongside of me that did not survive. I was 30 years old. If I had not been a survivor, I was a mother of two young, small children. Exactly what state would I have left them in if I had not made provision for them, even at the tender age of 30? And so an estate plan is essential. But even when we don't get to the place, because I know a lot, we're first generation wealth. So a lot of us will say, well, I ain't got nothing. They'll figure it out when, whatever, you know, and that's how we deal with it. But if you have children and you're not married, it is important that you identify who you're going to leave your most precious commodities to. Mm-hmm. And so when we're looking in the month of October, we're about to make a sprint into, you know, the end of the year. And, you know, that's when people say, okay, I want to make sure I do something before the end of the year. And I want to start off the next year tight and right overall. Mm-hmm. But these are the things that people ought to consider, that comprehensive planning is not just an end all to one specific area. And I think, Romney, that we have touched on a lot of things. So generally, I would do a level of wrap up and say, so what are the things that we can do if we really choose to dare to dream? And I'm going to name some that I think we touched on. And if I miss any, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you, you know, pick it up as well.
Okay.
Because audience, I want you guys to hear this. This month was very different. We wanted to make sure that you understood that if money is not an issue, I would want you to do what you love doing in your life. And it does. Everything requires a strategic plan. And the plan has got to consider economic resources in order to make that happen. And so if you desire to dream big dreams, whether or not it brings you resources or not, an additional stream of income, there are certain things that you want to do so that you can even consider doing something where money is never attached to it. And so the few things that I would encourage you to do is to make sure that you have a strategy, a strategic plan of action of where it is that you want to be in your life overall. The quality of life that you want to live should have a numerical number attached to it. I'm going to say that again because I thought that was real good. The quality life that you want to live should have a numerical number attached to it. And that numerical number must be must take into consideration overwhelm and debt so that if something unforeseen should happen in your life, you're not diminishing your capacity to maintain what it is that you're trying to build. So even in that mouthful that I just said, you're looking at like what Romney said, you're looking at how do I pay down my student debt? How do I make sure I protect myself? How do I be consistent? What do I need to cut off? What do I need to do to create a strategic plan of action so that I can dream big dreams and not just dream about them, but pursue it? Romney, is there anything you'd like to add? Any thoughts, any questions, any areas of concern?
Yes, definitely. Talk about your legacy with the next generation. Because if we're building generation wealth, we have to speak to the next generation. So you have to talk to the next generation about it because you're building it, but then that next generation is going to continue that legacy. So while you're defining your legacy, also make it a point to speak to the next generation about it so they can know what the game plan is too going forward.
I think that is so excellent. And so I'm gonna be old school because we're in two totally different generation. So I'm gonna have to say this for the people that might be the baby boomer generation. So I'm Generation Xer, but I'm gonna say this. My clients literally are ones that say to their children, and I'm like, that's fine with me. If something should happen to me, this is the name and the number you need. Dr. Nicole knows everything. Because parents are not really open to letting their children know where they stand financially. So that's a topic that we really have to address at some point. How do we give them the information, but don't give them enough that they might want to off us? I'm just saying, stay tuned for part two of that conversation. Mommy, I want to say thank you so very much. If people wanted to get in contact with you, Asset Achievers, if they want to learn about, because you didn't really touch on it, but you actually have cohorts to help people with the desire to do accelerated student debt payoff, if they wanted to communicate with you, how will they get in touch with Rami?
Yes, you can reach me by email at info@assetachievers.com. I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, and my handles are Asset Achievers.
Very simple, just like that. Mm-hmm. Listen, guys, I just want to say thank you all for tuning in today to this latest episode of Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole. I also want to say thank you to my special guest. I wanted to do something a little differently so that you don't just keep hearing my voice each month in and month out talking about not only dreaming big dreams, but pursuing them at all costs. If money isn't an issue, what would you be doing with your life? It is my goal, my desire, my life purpose to ensure that you have the ability, the strategic plan, and the capacity to dare to dream with me, yours truly, Dr. Nicole. We'll see you again soon. God bless you. Have a wonderful day and tune in to the next episode where we'll have another great guest telling you how they are desiring to dream big dreams and pursue them.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Next Financial Group Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.